This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Human rights groups in Malaysia have renewed calls for legislation against child marriage after recent amendments to the Child Act failed to address the issue. Child, early and forced marriage is still a pressing issue in Malaysia, despite commitments to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. The practices have been linked to significant health risks and human rights violation for the children involved. Brian Larish, head of community development with the Make It Right movement, highlights some of the issues surrounding child, early and forced marriage.
It's quite all-encompassing, actually. It involves a spectrum of issues. Number one is inequality, right? Generally, I can't imagine a 9, 10, 12, even a 14-year-old girl agreeing to get married to someone who's 25, 35, 45. You can't even imagine that she has gone through a thought process that makes her even understand what she's getting herself into. Number two, I think the biggest concern we have is that generally when a child gets married to a man, they go and stay with the husband's family, so the child is more exposed to domestic abuse. And it's not uncommon that the child is married off to become, in reality, she's a maid. That's from an external point of view. From an internal point of view, we're talking about maternal mortality. The leading cause of death for women giving birth is between the age of 15 and 20. And people don't talk about that. The other health issues is that it's common for a girl who's married and at that age to be sexually active to get what is called obstetric fistula. Basically, she can't control her bowels. So imagine the girl is 12 years old and having to wear a diaper because she's incontinent. Then when you look at poverty, a girl who gets married early is more likely to be in the poverty cycle. So the vicious cycle will continue. And finally, education. It's almost impossible that a young girl who's married at 10, 12, 13 years old will continue her education.
In April, the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry revealed over 1,000 girls who applied for marriage licenses last year were below the age of 18. Brian, however, believes the actual numbers are much higher.
Anyone below 18 who is non-Muslim is not allowed to get married without permission. And anyone below 16 who is a Muslim is not allowed to get married without permission. So the statistics they will have will be Muslim-centric. But that's because it's registered with the Sharia department. Nobody knows elsewhere, and I think we have to take into account, not only in Peninsula Malaysia, but East Malaysia, our brothers and sisters there have a different system of practice. In East Malaysia, we have the community court. Those practices are quite different. They're valid. I'm not saying in any way they're non-valid anymore. But the issues are the fact that we don't have the statistics. So I think the numbers are actually much higher, in my opinion.
Canada is a long-standing advocate against child marriage in the international community. Judith St. George, the High Commissioner for Canada in Malaysia, discusses some of the efforts that Canada has undertaken on both the international and domestic front.
Canada has long believed that the protection and empowerment of women and girls in society is essential for peaceful, prosperous, and stable countries. And as such, Canada provided leadership on the creation of the International Day of the Girl, which focused on child early and forced marriage, or CEFM, in its first year, which was in 2012. And in the years since, as part of cross-regional group of countries, Canada played a key role in ensuring substantive resolutions on CEFM were adopted by the Human Rights Council and the United Nations General Assembly. And of course, we've put our money where our mouth is, investing 250 million ringgit in targeted funding to prevent child early and forced marriage around the world. A significant focus of this funding is on empowering girls. I'd also like to mention what Canada is doing here in Malaysia. Canada is committed to raising the profile of CEFM through dialogue, advocacy, and social media. In February, we hosted a photo exhibition entitled Girls' Voices, Speaking Out Against Child Marriage at Berjaya Times Square. The keynote speech was given by Malaysia's Minister of Women, Families, and Community Development, Datuk Rohani Abdul Karim.
Judith tells us about some of the challenges Canada faced in bringing the issue of child, early and forced marriage to international attention.
When we first began to address this issue in multilateral forums such as the United Nations, we faced opposition from governments and from people who argued that this is a cultural practice that can't be changed. Others argued that it was taboo to discuss the issue with girls, their parents and communities. But we have overcome these challenges regarding the arguments that were put forward in favor of child early and forced marriage. But we haven't done this alone. We work with partners around the world to help raise the awareness of the negative impacts of child early and forced marriage on girls and also on their wider communities and countries. By partnering with governments and leaders from communities that are most affected by the practice, they have shown that this issue is not taboo and that social norms and traditions can and should be changed. You know, a good example is at the United Nations General Assembly, the government of Zambia has co-led the resolution on child early and forced marriage with Canada and has shown tremendous leadership in building support among the other governments of the most affected countries. And in a short few years, international momentum to address this issue has grown considerably. There's now widespread recognition among countries that child early and forced marriage is a harmful practice which needs to be eliminated.
The recent amendments to Malaysia's Child Act has come under fire from human rights groups for failing to address child marriage. Brian weighs in.
If you're below 16 for a Muslim girl and boy, and you're below 18 for a non-Muslim, you have to get permission from the chief minister. I'm trying to understand how many of our chief ministers are sociologists or psychologists or understand gender to that level. I would like to know the process. If my daughter comes to me and she demands to get married, I want to know on what thought process does the chief minister or the governor of that state approve my daughter's marriage? Do you know? I mean, nobody seems to know who is interviewed, who is asked, what is the law. We have even one story of a 13-year-old girl who married her 23-year-old teacher. You know, there's a Malay saying, harapkan paga, paga makan padi. You depend on the fence and the fence that you depend on kills you in the end. So I think here, the process has to be clearer. That's something that they can work on now, that they don't have to necessarily put it into the act, but actually make clear that the regulations on the approval has to be transparent on what process was it granted. Right, so I think that's a minimum. There's no transparency with that.
As an example, Judith explains some of the measures that the Canadian government has undertaken to eliminate child early and forced marriage.
First of all, in Canada, we have a well-developed child protection system, which aims to protect children from harm and to help parents care for their children. We also support Canadian victims of forced marriage abroad. These services vary according to the particular circumstances and wishes of the victim, including factors such as the legal system in the country where he or she is located and the victim's age. In terms of domestic legislation, in 2015, a number of amendments were made to Canada's criminal code addressing underage and forced marriages. So it's now an offence to celebrate, aid, or participate in a marriage ceremony with full knowledge that one of the persons being married is marrying against their will. We also have the Civil Marriage Act that stipulates that marriage requires the free and enlightened consent of the persons being married.
Bryant addresses the argument that child or early marriage will prevent teens from engaging in premarital sex.
So I'm all open to listen to both sides of the coin, right? But can you base it on facts? Can you base it on social research? Like the Women's Ministry last week said, they did a proper research and they've identified that young Malaysian teenagers have no concept about sex in this country. So that I'm willing to listen to because it's based on an actual, factual social research. On what anecdotal story are you going to come and tell me that this is true? It's not based on facts. And the research has to be sound, not just any old research. I asked 12 girls and they told me this, so therefore it's a fact. It's not acceptable.
The abolition of child early and forced marriage is listed as one of the UN's 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. Judith talks about what Canada has done in order to achieve this goal.
The adoption of the 2030 agenda, which includes an international commitment to end child marriage, is really a significant milestone. There's no doubt that the agenda is ambitious and comprehensive. It represents an opportunity for a coherent multi-stakeholder approach to sustainable development. A key challenge in its implementation will be ensuring that we work in real partnership with many stakeholders and ensuring that the commitments are translated into concrete action at a country level. With respect to ending child marriage, all actors from civil society, government, the media, religious and community leaders, families, including men and boys, and girls themselves must play a role. We're encouraging countries to develop action plans which are multi-sectoral, realistic, and well-resourced, and which include initiatives to empower girls, mobilize families and communities, provide services, particularly health, education, and justice service, and provide an enabling legal and policy framework.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.